Hello, everyone, and welcome to another enlightening episode of Planetary Makeover. We're pleased and privileged to once again welcome our old friend Dick Larson back to the show. And it will be another lovely, inspiring, and profound video where he's discussing the brilliant ways we will transcend the current world crisis. That in itself sounds fascinating, doesn't it? You can't help but be drawn in by the topical, germane, and utterly relevant subject matter. But first, as always, let us state that here at Planetary Makeover, we are not here to convince you of anything. We simply ask you to consider what we put forth with an open mind. And our subject is a new world, a new civilization based on sharing, trust, equality, justice, sharing. Did I say sharing? Yes, sharing. Brotherhood, peace, synthesis, and love. I mentioned sharing twice because that's part of the message of the group of enlightened human beings that's going to help us form this new civilization. And more about that later. What we want to do in this process is preserve the best of the old while embracing the best of the new. And as I hinted, we assert that humanity is not alone in this process. We have help of an extraordinary kind, which will inspire us to transform these seemingly impossible futures into a real, actual reality. Now, how are we going to do that? How will that happen? Well, this is how. Believe it or not, there are perfected human beings that have worked with humanity in the past, in the distant past, over 98,000 years ago, whom, ironically, humanity sent packing. But they kept watch over us all these centuries and millennia, inspiring and influencing man from behind the scenes without infringing upon his free will. And now they are returning. Usually they work through intermediaries, but this time, for the first time in a long time, they're coming as themselves. And that individual is known as the World Teacher, and his group is the Masters of Wisdom. And they have been predicted, as you may have guessed, by all the major world's religions for thousands of years. But these figures coming today are not religious figures, but rather spiritual teachers in the broadest sense. And since they have been predicted, you probably want to review what some of those names have been. Those include the Messiah for the Jews, the Imam Mahdi for the Muslims, the Kalki Avatar for the Hindus, the Christ for the Christians, and, saving this the best for last, Maitreya by the Buddhists. Yep, they got the name right. That's the name of the New World Teacher, Maitreya, and coming with his group, the Masters of Wisdom. Now, as I said, these are spiritual teachers in the broadest sense, here for everyone. Everyone from the most ardent fundamentalist to the most dyed-in-the-wool atheist. And even though these groups probably won't embrace them or believe in them, it doesn't matter to the masters, they love everyone. And they're not looking to create followers or believers or to found a new religion. And they belong to the people. They are not beholden to any religious, governmental, or philosophical institutions. And this is considered, as a bonus, the most important event in mankind's long history. As I said, they love all, everyone, without exception, unconditionally. Now, Maitreya is an avatar who's wielding energies in combinations that may have never been seen on this planet before. This is in part because he himself is overshadowed by even greater avatars, the avatar of peace and equilibrium, of synthesis, and a third energy for which we as yet have no accurate name, though it might be referred to in a sort of spiritual slang as unstoppable will. How does that grab you? Now, the masters are helping both humanity and the planet enter this new age, which is known as the Age of Aquarius, which may make some of you chuckle thinking of that song from the 60s, The Age of Aquarius, from the musical Hair. If you recall, in that song, they talked about the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, which I guess you could say the 60s were, even though the Age of Aquarius didn't really begin till approximately the year 2000. But the important thing to remember is that these ages don't last 25 or 50 years. They are approximately 2,150 years each. We have come out of the age of Pisces and are going into the age of Aquarius. And Dick will talk about that more in greater detail than will I. And you can learn more then. All I will say about that further is that when you think of the astrological aspect of Pisces and Aquarius, even though these ages are astronomical events, not astrological, each astrological sign has a two-word moniker. For Pisces, it's I believe. For Aquarius, it's I know. So we're entering into an age of knowledge. And that's another reason why the masters are coming forth as themselves. In this age, people need solid evidence and proof, not just belief to go on. Not any longer. It's a different world 2,000 years later. Now, writings about Maitreya and the masters, as well as their own writings, are meant to stimulate our minds and our intuition. Just reading or listening to it is transformative in a way that does not interfere with our free will, which is sacrosanct to the masters. This subject, which is vast in scope, includes more than just the masters and is known generally as the Ageless Wisdom Teaching, which Dick will also touch upon. Some of those writers include Madame Blavatsky in the late 19th century, Helena Rodrick taking us into the 20th century, Alice Bailey, mid-20th century, and most recently, author, artist, and esotericist Benjamin Krem, who Dick will also mention. Now, let's talk a little bit about our guest, Dick Larson. Dick is a counselor with a background in education who addresses the issues of meditation and practical spirituality. He has been a guest on radio talk shows nationwide, co-hosted a nationwide radio program, and produced and hosted a series of public access television shows that again air around the nation. Dick gives public lectures on the Ageless Wisdom Teaching and the relationship to what is happening in the world today. His message is one of great hope for our future. And it's important to know, too, that Dick was the original host of Planetary Makeover and a founding member of the Planetary Makeover team. Let me present the video. Enjoy.
Hi. Glad you could join me. My name is Dick Larson. I'm talking to you from sunny Southern California, USA. And we're going to talk today about an amazing opportunity for everyone on this planet who's old enough to understand that isn't general knowledge out there in the world yet. So people ask me for my sources. I have my notes here so I don't leave anything out. People ask me for my sources, so let's do that right away at the top here. My source is something called the Ageless Wisdom Teachings. The Ageless Wisdom is an ancient philosophy, a living philosophy, as old as humanity. It's been passed down by word of mouth over the ages, and then lately in writing. The last two teachers of the Ageless Wisdom have been a woman named Alice A. Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s. And Benjamin Krem, spelled C-R-E-M-E. It looks like cream, but it's pronounced Krem, who has written about 17 books. They're available on Amazon.com. I'm not here to sell books, but if you want to check them out, you're welcome to do that. Benjamin Krem was the latest revealer of the Ageless Wisdom. I knew Benjamin Krem. He lived in London. I knew Benjamin Krem and worked with him for a while. And he is the primary source for my information. And then people always say, well, where does Benjamin Krem get his information? So I'll tell you. Benjamin Krem was taught how to be in contact with one of the ascended masters, the masters of wisdom, these great beings that make up our spiritual kingdom. He was taught how to be in contact with one of these great masters, and that's where he received his information. So the shorthand for that is he received his information directly from the spiritual universe, the spiritual world. And he didn't do it by channeling, he did it by mental telepathy, which is much, much more accurate. And that's where Benjamin Krem got his information. So the source of my information is the Ageless Wisdom teachings, and in particular, Benjamin Krem. I usually ask two things. Oh, by the way, Benjamin Krem was an artist, and you can see my lithograph of one of his paintings here behind me called Meditation, which is about the focal points, among other things, shows the focal points of meditation and energy that we can use. Let's see. A couple things I ask of my viewers and listeners. Number one, please don't believe a word I say. That would be blind belief, and I can't recommend that to anybody. So I'm not here to convince you that what I say is true. I'm not here to get you to think like I think. I'm not here to argue or debate. I'm here to give up my information. And if 10 or 20 or 30% of it makes sense to you, I'll be very happy with that. And if it doesn't, I apologize for wasting your time. I don't think I would be wasting your time, or I wouldn't bother to do this. Obviously, I'm 100% convinced that what I have to say, based on my life experiences, that what I have to say is true, or I wouldn't be doing this. The second thing I ask of my listeners, we all have built up a belief system. I'm going to ask you to keep an open mind. Now, that can be challenging, easier said than done. We all build up our belief system and our convictions over a lifetime, and we hold those pretty dear to ourselves. So I'm going to ask you to just crack the window open. If this is new to you, I'm going to ask you to just crack the window open a little bit and let some of my information in. It's information that Benjamin Krem traveled the world for 40 years without any pay, giving out this information, and I'm going to give some of it today. But I'm asking you to just kind of let it settle in your lap like a brick. You don't have to do anything with it. You don't have to argue with it. You don't have to disagree. You don't have to agree. Just let it, just let the information in and see how it develops for you. So those are the two things I ask. Don't believe me, and keep an open mind. One of the reasons that keeping an open mind is challenging when I talk about this stuff is because some of what I'm going to talk about is prophecy. And the problem with prophecy is you can't show it to anybody. You can't prove it to anybody. So I can't demonstrate some of the prophecy that I'm going to be talking about. We just have to wait and see what happens. But if I'm right, and I think I am, this is going to happen pretty soon, a few years at the most. So if you're in reasonable health at all, you're going to be around for what I'm going to be talking about. The world has many crises today, a ton of them. And we're going to talk a little more about how that happens and why that is. But one of the main crises in the world today, according to the Masters of Wisdom, who I'll explain, one of the main crises in the world is a spiritual crisis. The Masters say that we have forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we're not humans having a spiritual experience. We're spirits having a human experience. We're spirits. We're sacred. We're divine. We're holy. Now, we all have a spark, a big spark of God in us. Christians call it the soul. And that makes us divine. Now, we can't always act holy. We can't always act divine. Some of the great beings that went before us, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, you know, those people could act holy because that's basically what they were. And they were evolved enough to be able to demonstrate it in the world. You and I, we're doing the best we can. We're demonstrating our divinity to the extent that we can, but we need to not forget that we are divine. We need to be reminded. And that's what's going to be happening very, very soon. Humanity is going to be reminded who we really are. There's a spiritual aspect to every part of life. if we would just let it shine. Work can be spiritual. Family certainly can be spiritual. Government can be spiritual. Finance can be spiritual. Education can be. Every aspect of life can be spiritual if we will treat it that way. And it comes from us. We need to remember that we are sacred, that we are divine. You know, these great masters, these great beings I'm going to talk about are perfected human beings. They've gone through evolution ahead of us. Through human evolution, lifetime after lifetime, thousands of lifetimes. And each time the soul takes a body, it picks up where we left off in our evolutionary development. So we learn and grow and ultimately become perfected human beings. That's what these great beings have done. And they've become perfected human beings. And so they've learned all the lessons that planet Earth has to teach. And once you've learned all the lessons planet Earth has to teach, you become a permanent consciousness, a permanent member of the spiritual kingdom. And that's what these masters are. They're called many things. They're called the masters of the wisdom. They're called the ascended masters. They're called the lords of compassion. They're called the spiritual hierarchy. Hierarchy means different levels. Well, just like us humans are evolving at different levels, that's what makes the world go around. So the spiritual kingdom, the members of the spiritual kingdom are at different levels of evolution too. Evolution never stops. We never stop learning and growing. So it's called, also called the spiritual hierarchy. There were 63 of these great beings that have hung around planet Earth, because you don't have to, you can go on other paths once you become a perfected human being, once you become a master. There are 63 of these great beings that have hung around planet Earth. And we know some of them as Jesus, Buddha, Krishna. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is one of the great masters now. Joan of Arc is one of the great masters. Confucius, I already said. These beings that we know have gone through human evolution, become perfected human beings, and are now members of the spiritual kingdom. Before the next 2,000 years are over, there'll be over 40 of these great beings walking amongst humanity, giving us suggestions, teaching us, guiding us. And we're going to talk more about that. Every 2,250 years or so, we reach a new era, a new age, we call it. I'll tell you how that happens. It's astronomy. It's not astrology like in newspapers and magazines for entertainment. It's astronomy. It's the movement of heavenly bodies throughout cosmos. Our sun and our solar system and our planet are in the middle of 12 great constellations that we call the zodiac. And periodically, we come into alignment as a planet. We come into alignment with each of these constellations one at a time. Now, if you were to go to an astronomer, they call this the precession of the equinox. That's what the scientists call it. We call it New Ages. So for the last 2,000 years, we have been in alignment with the great constellation Pisces. And when we're in alignment with one of these constellations, we say we are in the age of whatever that constellation is. So for the last 2,000 years, we've been in alignment with Pisces, and these constellations have powerful energies. And we've been receiving the energies of Pisces. The two primary energies of Pisces are individuality. Man has come out of the herd in the last 2,000 years. And dedication to an ideal. And it's dedication to the ideal of freedom that saved the world in World War II. So Piscean energy has done its job. We are now independent individuals with our own convictions and our own beliefs and our own thoughts and actions. We're powerful. We're powerful individuals now. That's the individuality part of it. The problem is it creates separation because we each have our own ideals. We each have our own beliefs. And we're sure that ours are the one. They're right. So it's caused tremendous separation. I mean, in America, the Republican Party has never been farther from the Democratic Party. They've never been farther apart. The Christian religion alone has over 150 different groups, different sects. There's Lutherans and Episcopalians and Protestants and Roman Catholics and on and on and on and on. So it's caused tremendous separation. Well, those energies from Pisces have been pounding this planet for 2,000 years. Now, in 1625, they started to recede. We started to move out of alignment with Pisces and into alignment with the next great constellation, which is Aquarius. So we are entering the age of Aquarius. We're moving from Pisces to Aquarius. And when you do that, you're crisscrossing energies, because Aquarian energy is very different from Piscean energy. You're crisscrossing energies, and when that happens, there's chaos on the planet, crises on the planet. And we're in the middle of it right now. It's a difficult time on planet Earth. What are the two primary energies of Aquarius? They're very different than Pisces. They're cooperation and synthesis. Cooperation and synthesis. And so now what's going to happen is we're going to take that powerful individuals, the powerful individuals built under Pisces, and we're going to get them to work together as a group. And then that group contains tremendous energy and the backing, the support of Aquarian energy. And so groups are huge now. That's why people marching in the streets could save the healthcare in America, because Aquarian energy supports group action. So we're into the age of Aquarius. We started receiving Aquarian energy in 1675. And so we're about halfway through the crossover now. It's a difficult transition time, very difficult transition that we're going through now. Well, when we start a new age, we get a great teacher sent to bring the teachings or the revelation that humanity is ready for. You know that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Well, the teacher that came to inaugurate the age of Pisces was Jesus. And you know the symbol for Pisces is the fish. So there's all these fish analogies in the Christian Bible. I'll make you fishers of men. He fed the crowd with fish, and so on and so forth. There's two symbols for Christianity. One is the cross and one is the fish. And a lot of Christians don't know why it's the fish. Well, this is why. Because he was the teacher who for the age of Pisces. So now it's 2,000 years later. We're entering the age of Aquarius. It's time for another teacher. This teacher is here now in a physical body on the planet, waiting for the best time to come forward when he can get the attention of most of humanity. That's his plan. Now, humanity has free will, so his plan might change, but that's his plan that we know, that my information says through Benjamin Krem that that's his plan. So he is here now, waiting for the right time to come forward. These masters, by the way, are in the mountain and desert regions of the world. That's where they live. They're not up in heaven somewhere. They're here on the planet, but they're in areas where they don't have to deal with smog and pollution and noise pollution and all that stuff that we've got going on here on the planet. They don't have to be distracted by all of that. Now, they can be in physical bodies or not in physical bodies. Some are in physical bodies, like the world teacher, who is the teacher for the age of Aquarius. His personal name is Maitreya. Like, my name is Dick, his name is Maitreya. Maitreya in Sanskrit means the happy one, the one who brings joy, the joyful one. He is the teacher for the age of Aquarius. Now, why is this event unique? I promised I would tell you that. It's unique because the age-old way for a teacher to give out his information, to give out his or her teachings, is through a very, very advanced disciple. And the disciple agrees, before he is born, agrees to give out the teachings of this great master. And then I'll give you an example. Prince Gautama agreed with the Buddha before he was born to give out the teachings of the Buddha. So when Prince Gautama became of age, became an adult, the Buddha overshadowed Prince Gautama. Now, this is a word that's used in the ageless wisdom, overshadowing. It's also in the Christian Bible. It means the same thing both places. It means that the Buddha put his consciousness, with Prince Gautama's permission, put his consciousness in Prince Gautama. So when Prince Gautama taught, he was giving out the Buddha's teachings. So he became known as Gautama Buddha. He wasn't the Buddha, but he was giving the Buddha's teachings. He taught like the Buddha. Same thing happened with Jesus. Jesus, who was one of the great, great, great masters now, Jesus, before he was born, agreed with Maitreya, who is the Christ for our planet. Christians, hang in there. Hang in there. I'm going to explain this. But Christ is a position in the spiritual hierarchy. It's not anybody's last name. Jesus' last name wasn't Christ. Back then, people were known by their name and where they came from. So he was Jesus of Nazareth. Well, the Christ for our planet, which not every planet has a Christ, is a very advanced individual in our spiritual kingdom, the leader of the masters. He and Jesus agreed that Jesus would give out his teachings, the teachings of the Christ. So when Jesus became of age, actually it happened when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. From then until the crucifixion, those 3 years of his primary teaching, Jesus gave out the teachings of the Christ. How did he do that? He did that because Maitreya, the world teacher, the Christ, put his consciousness, with Jesus' permission, in Jesus. Part of his consciousness, in Jesus. So when Jesus spoke, it was as if the Christ was speaking, and Jesus became known as Jesus the Christ. That's the age-old way for masters to give out their teaching to humanity. Well, it's different this time. This is why it's unique. This time, the teacher is coming himself, the master of all the masters, Maitreya, the world teacher, the Christ for planet Earth, is coming himself. He made his own physical body. He's in it now. He made his own physical body. It was very challenging and very difficult to make, as I understand it. Imagine this. He's the Christ. That means he embodies the love of God in his being. He had to make a body that could contain that incredible energy and still not zap you to death when he shook your hand. So it took him a while to make this body. As I understand it, it's a male body, about 6'3". And his base of operations is in London, in the outskirts of London. And the masters travel by thought. So he can appear in 42 places at once if he wants to. And he'll appear to be a real solid physical person in all 42 places or whatever. That's how the masters travel. I mean, I can't even wrap my brain around this. but my understanding is, and I have no reason to doubt it, that that's absolutely true. His base of operations is London. But he's not coming alone. There are 14 masters in the world right now in major cities of the world. There's one in Rome, in the outskirts of Rome. That master is Jesus. Jesus is back, not at the end of the world. It's not going to be the end of the world. The Age of Wisdom says that each planet has millions and millions of years of life before it becomes a perfected planet. How does it become a perfect planet? Because the people on it become perfect. Well, humanity's got a long way to go until we become perfect human beings and have learned all the lessons that planet Earth has to teach us. We're just over halfway through the life of our planet, according to the Ageless Wisdom. So the end of the world is nowhere near. You can relax if you've been worried about that. Okay, so he's the teacher for this age. He's coming forward in a physical body that he made. He can't be killed. He doesn't need to eat or sleep. He works 24 hours a day. He can appear wherever he wants to. And Jesus is in the outskirts of Rome. Now, I understand that the Pope and a couple cardinals around the Pope know that Jesus is here. They've been asked not to say anything. Why? Because if the Pope said Jesus was here, every Roman Catholic and a lot of Christians in the world would believe it, just because the Pope said so, not because they'd actually experienced Jesus in their life. That's an infringement of humanity's free will. And none of the masters will ever infringe our free will. It's sacred. They would never force us to do anything. Free will is one of the ways we learn and grow. We make choices with our free will, and then we learn from our choices. The goal isn't to choose correctly every time. The goal is to always learn from our choice. We can learn from a wise choice, we can learn from a poor choice. But the goal is always to learn so we don't make the same poor choice over and over and over. You know, so we progress, we learn and grow. Benjamin Krem said that the royal road to spiritual growth is service and meditation, and free will makes that possible. So free will is sacred. The masters will never make us do anything. So that's why this event is unique, because he's here himself. I mean, we can't imagine the power and the love of a being like Maitreya, the world teacher. And yet he's going to be with humanity, at the center of humanity, for the next 2,000 years. He doesn't come to start a new religion. He says, if you're in a religion and it's working for you, great. If you're not, I come for you too. I come for everybody. Maitreya comes as a pure teacher. He can't wave a magic wand, neither can Jesus. Can't wave a magic wand to make everything okay, because it's not their mess. The great law of karma, the law of cause and effect, scientists call it the law of action and reaction. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That law says that whoever made the mess has to clean it up. So we have to do the work. The masters are here to guide us in that effort. Huge effort. So the masters are here to teach and guide. Jesus' job, as I understand it, will be to head up the Christian religion and get it back on track. It's lost its way, you know, through a lot of man-made rules and dogma. Every major religion has lost its way, and all of the major religions will receive help. Jesus' job will be to get the Christian church back on track. So there'll be no more popes. This is the last pope. Jesus will take his rightful place on St. Peter's throne at the head of the Catholic Church, the largest church in the world, and at the head of the Christian religion, the largest religion in the world. And he will teach. It'll be a great time. If you're a Christian, this is a fantastic time to be alive, because you're going to be able to ask Jesus, "What did you really say that? What did you mean when you said that? And did you say this too?" It'll be an opportunity to ask him all kinds of questions. And he will refine the teachings back to what they were supposed to be in the first place. But the Ageless Wisdom says that the Christian church's job is to teach and heal. Well, the church has done not a very good job of teaching and almost no healing at all. So Jesus is here to get it back on track. That's his job. And so if you're a Christian, you're going to see Jesus, and this is a great time to be alive. Ultimately, you'll see Maitreya and Jesus side by side on television. And Maitreya will say something like, "This is Jesus, my great brother and teacher." And Jesus will say, "This is Maitreya, my great brother and teacher, world teacher for the age of Aquarius." They work hand in hand. They have no egos. Masters don't have any egos. So they work together all the time. Cooperation is their method of operating. So Maitreya is coming forward. He's here now. I told you that I would tell you what his revelations are going to be. Okay. Buddha taught the wisdom of God. Jesus taught the love of God. Jesus was the first human being to embody the love of God on planet Earth. Huge, huge step forward for humanity. The wisdom and the love. Maitreya, the world teacher, comes to teach God's will. Apparently, humanity is finally ready to start seriously doing God's will. He's going to teach us God's will and the purpose behind that will. We're going to find out why we're here. I mean, humanity has been trying to figure out for ages what we're doing here. What are our purposes? What's our purpose in being? We're going to find out. This is a big, big time in the history of the planet. Huge. There's never been a time like this in the history of planet Earth, in the history of humanity on Earth. We're going to find out God's purpose and God's will and God's purpose. We prayed about God's will, but we're not sure what it is. Now we'll know. Maitreya is going to teach that. Another thing that Maitreya is going to teach is something called right relationship. The Christian church talks about righteousness. That's right relationship. He's going to teach us how to get in right relationship with each other, how to treat each other well, how to take care of each other, what our true relationship should be, the fact that we're all brothers and sisters of the one God. By many names, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah, many names for God, same God. We're all sons and daughters of that God. We're all brothers and sisters of one humanity, regardless of age, regardless of income level, regardless of skin color, regardless of sex or sexual preference. None of that makes any difference. We're all brothers and sisters of the one God. He's going to teach us right relationship. He says, as long as there's one person on the planet who is starving, or one person who is homeless, or one person who doesn't have access to health care, humanity is not in right relationship. So his first four priorities are food for everybody, housing for everybody, education for everybody, and health care for everybody as human rights. Now, the United Nations has already declared these as human rights a long time ago, but we've done nothing about it. The richest country in the world, the United States, has people starving and homeless all over the place. So those are his first four priorities. You know, you can't focus on God or on a religion while you're starving to death, while you're homeless, while you're trying to survive. So those, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Those needs need to be met before we can move on, before we can learn and grow as a human race, make a giant leap forward, which I understand we're going to do in this age of Aquarius. So it's a great time to be alive. We have a chance to make huge contributions to humanity. And those are the opportunities I'll be talking about. So he's going to teach the will and the purpose behind the will of God. He's going to teach right relationship. His priorities are going to be food, shelter, healthcare, and education. He's going to teach us about God. He says, God's nature is love. Now, a lot of us knew that. God's purpose is to serve. Isn't that interesting? It's not to manipulate or control or anything like that. It's to serve. God's purpose is to serve. And God is known through sharing and justice. Sharing. What do we mean by that? Do we mean giving up your life savings to somebody, some stranger? No, it's not what we're talking about. Maitreya is going to teach sharing. He says that nations need to share their excess production with other nations that need that production, need that item, whatever it is. You know, in the Western world, you know, we have more grain than we can use. So we store it in these huge silos, and if we don't get the right price for it, it sits there and rots. Well, Maitreya says that's not right relationship. If it's excess, share it. And then the other countries will share their excess that we need with us. So it's about nation sharing. It's one of the functions of the United Nations in the future, as I understand it. There'll be a separate agency set up to take an inventory of each country's production and an inventory of each country's needs. And then they'll set up a sharing opportunity. They'll be asked to share, not forced to share. There'll be no one world government. Don't worry about that. Every nation has its own personality, and those personalities contribute to the whole of the planet. So there'll be sharing, and each nation will be asked to share its excess with nations that need it, and so on. And that'll be one of the functions of the United Nations, to help us start to take care of each other so that basic needs are met. Now, this is happening in countries in Europe like Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, where they're sharing. You don't see the extreme rich and the extreme poor there. You don't see the haves and the have-nots with that huge distance between them, because everybody's basic needs are met. So everybody has their needs met. They just don't have all their wants met. So we need to live simpler lives. We need to learn how to live a more simple life. Like that. Sharing, a huge part of humanity's future. Maitreya says it's the only thing we haven't tried to create peace on earth. Because when you share, you establish trust. And when you have trust between nations and between people, there's no fighting. You have peace. So sharing is going to bring the world to peace. It's a wonderful time ahead of us. I'll tell you, one of God's great laws is the law of balance, the law of equilibrium. And what that law says is that however bad it's been, that's how good it's going to get. So we have a brilliant future ahead of us. That's for sure. All right. I said he doesn't come alone. His base of operations is in London. And that before this age is over, there'll be over 40 masters. There'll be a master in each aspect of life, guiding and teaching. They're going to make suggestions. We have free will. We can either follow their suggestions or not. It's up to us. It'll be a very individual decision. But there'll be a master in culture. There'll be a master in the arts. There'll be a master in finance. There'll be a master in government. There'll be a master for every major religion. Every aspect of life in healthcare, every aspect of education, every aspect of life will have one or more masters or senior disciples guiding, making suggestions to help us straighten out the mess we've made of planet Earth. See, here's one of the things that's happening. And the ages explain it. Every big organization, every big aspect of society that we have built right now, education, healthcare, finance, all of them, government, were built with Piscean energy. Well, Piscean energy is being withdrawn. So guess what? They have no energy anymore. They're going to collapse. Well, that's what's happening. All those great areas of life are collapsing because they don't have the energy. It's been withdrawn. That's all they can do is collapse. They need to be rebuilt with the energies of Aquarius, of cooperation. So we're moving from a time of competition to a time of cooperation. We're moving from a time of me or you, survival of the fittest, to a time of me and you, the unity of humanity, the brotherhood of humanity. Now, how is this a great opportunity? Well, the first thing you can do if you want to take advantage of this opportunity, now we've all had thousands of lifetimes. By the time you know you're a living soul, you've had thousands of lifetimes and you're on the final stretch, really, maybe 10, 15 lives left. By the time you know you're a living soul, you've had thousands of lifetimes. Well, this opportunity has never happened before in any of our lifetimes. That's my information. The first thing you can do is tell people about this. Tell people about this. Benjamin Cram, I said, traveled the world for 40 years without pay, telling people about this. This is a momentous time to be alive. We have the opportunity to give people some hope. I mean, in this world right now, it's tough. And people need hope. Well, there is hope for the future. Big hope. No matter how dark it looks right now, how tragic and difficult it looks right now, there's tremendous hope for humanity in the future and very soon in the future. I mean, if you're, like I said earlier, if you're of reasonable health, you're going to see some of this happen. Some of it will happen very quickly and some of it will take time. But that's why we're here. I'm convinced this is why we're on the planet right now, is to help turn the planet around. First, by telling people this story so they can, number one, have hope, but number two, when it happens, they'll know what's going on. A lot of people are going to be in the dark about what's going on when the world teacher comes forward. And I'll tell you how he plans to do that. When the world teacher comes forward, people are going to wonder, well, those who know this story will have a pretty good idea of exactly what's going on. So you're giving people hope and you're giving them a heads up as to what's coming down the road, because I'm absolutely convinced this is going to happen and soon. Another thing that people can do to seize this opportunity is march in the streets. Or if you don't want to do that, put up posters around that there's hope, that there's a world teacher coming. You know, and share it at whatever level that's real for you. I said earlier, 10, 20, 30%. So you might say something like, hey, I heard this guy talking the other day, and he says there's a world teacher coming to help us straighten out the mess on this planet. Wouldn't that be great? I hope that's true. Share it at that level. Whatever level it's real for you, but share it with family, friends, strangers. Share it on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, however you want to share it, but share it. The other thing you can do is when the world teacher Maitreya comes forward, you can listen carefully to his suggestions, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to make suggestions and he's going to teach. And then we have to take action. Like I said, he can't fix the mess. We have to do the work. But we can listen carefully and sort it through our life's experience and our belief system and see if it makes sense to us. And if it makes sense, take action. Act on the suggestions. Now, Maitreya, a long time ago in the Agni Yoga teachings in the 1930s, said this. He said, there was a time when 10 true men could save the world, then a time when 10,000 could not. I shall call upon 1 billion. Well, in 2009, Benjamin Krem asked his master, does Maitreya have his billion yet? Benjamin Krem's master said that there are 1.8 billion people ready to respond to Maitreya when he comes forward. Now, that was in 2009. I'm sure it's over 2 billion by now. So he has more than his critical mass needed to help start turning this planet around. And I think that's why we're here. Just like my parents were here to defeat Hitler and Mussolini and a couple of Japanese generals that were the release of the Antichrist energy for our time in World War II. I mean, what an amazing generation. These guys couldn't wait to go to war knowing full well they'd probably get killed. Women left homes and went to work in factories. That generation was here to save the world, and they did. Well, I think we're here to help turn this world around. I'm absolutely convinced we're capable of doing it. Doesn't mean we each will, but we're capable of it. And I suggest that we seize this opportunity in all the ways we can to make the biggest contribution to the planet and to humanity on this planet that we could ever possibly make in all of our thousands of lifetimes. Now, here's Maitreya's plan for coming forward. Again, humanity has free will. He may have to shift and modify his plan, but here's his plan. His plan is, he's interviewing right now as an ordinary man on network television in many countries of the world. He's had over 200 interviews at this point. And he's talking as an ordinary man. I don't know what name he's using. I don't know what he looks like. I haven't seen any of the interviews, but I really don't need to. I know that he's talking about justice and sharing and freedom, and the brotherhood of man. I know he's talking about these things, and his plan is that at some point, the media representing us, representing humanity, is gonna say to him, wait a minute, you know way too much to be an ordinary person. Who are you really? Who are you really? And that, without infringing our free will, that will give him permission to come forward to the world on television and radio, hooked up by satellite communication. That's what they're up there for. They're not up there for World Cup soccer. They're up for there for this event. And we will see his face on TV. Now, there's three ways you'll know it's him. But if he addresses humanity according to his plan, there are three ways you'll know it's him, and I'll tell you what they are. Number one, you'll see his face on TV, but his lips won't move. You'll hear his words in your head telepathically in whatever your native language is. I mean, it'll be a very, very strange experience because he won't look like he's talking, but you're going to hear him. That's the first way you'll know this is the world teacher. The second way you'll know it's him is that while he's speaking, he embodies the love of God. He's going to send out the love of God to all of humanity. He said, it will be as if I, so powerful as if I physically embrace you. You'll feel the love of God in your heart like you've never felt it before. A lot of people be crying, and I'll probably be one of them. That's the second way. The third way you'll know it's him is that when he's done speaking, 25, 35, 45 minutes, nobody knows exactly how long, nobody knows exactly when, but when he's done speaking, there'll be press reports from all around the world that while he was speaking, hundreds of thousands of people were miraculously healed. And I'm wondering if a lot of those healings are going to be from COVID-19. And then others, of course. But there'll be hundreds of thousands of reports that hundreds of thousands of people were healed while he was speaking. And in those three ways, you'll know that this is the teacher. This is the world teacher, personal name Maitreya, here to help us rebuild the world and get things back on track for the plan of God. And then it'll be a very, very personal experience. Because one of the things we're told he's going to do, he's going to give us a mind's eye view of the past. He's going to see, we're going to see it like it's alive, like it's happening right now, we're going to see where we've lost our way, where humanity has lost our way. And then he's going to give us a glimpse of the future. And we're going to see this brilliant, wonderful, loving, peaceful, abundant future that's awaiting humanity if we make the right choices. And he will give us that experience of the future to inspire us to action. Now, that's his plan. And so when that happens, you'll know what's going on. But this is a momentous event, never happened before in the history of planet Earth. Can you believe how blessed we are to be here for this event? I mean, how fortunate can you be? But by the same token, it involves tremendous responsibility, because we're here to help turn this planet around, to follow his suggestions and that of the other masters, and start turning this planet around and getting it back on purpose, starting to treat each other well, take care of each other, treat each other as like one family, which we are. You know, I mentioned sharing earlier. If a family of four only has enough food for a family of three, but they don't decide which one they're going to starve. They share it, and everybody gets enough to be okay. That's what we need to do with the planet and all the goods of the planet. You know, we need to take care of this planet. So far, we haven't been able to stop war. We haven't been able to stop starvation. And we haven't been able to quit killing the planet. And I'll talk about those things in future talks. But right now, what I want you to know is that this teacher is here now, waiting for the right time to come forward. Now, my best guess, there's nothing official about this at all. My best guess is that this is going to happen within the next 18 months to 3 years, maybe sooner. But that's my best guess. So, like I said, stick around. By the way, 666 was Nero. In St. John's Book of Revelation, I used to teach adult Bible study, and I have study Bibles which have all kinds of footnotes in them. And every study Bible says the same thing where it says the beast 666. The footnote says numerology was very big back then, and every letter represented a number. 666 are the total numbers in the name Caesar Nero. Nero was the beast 666, and the Antichrist energy, which is an energy, not a person, was released through Nero 2,000 years ago, and it's purposely released to break down the old order and pave the way for the new. Well, there's an old saying, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Rome was this huge occupying empire, and Nero almost single-handedly destroyed the entire Roman Empire and paved the way for Christendom. He was incredibly evil. He persecuted Christians and many others. And the Antichrist energy was released through him. Then in our time, 2,000 years later, it was released, as I said, through Hitler, Mussolini, and a couple Japanese generals to break down the old order and pave the way for the world teacher to come forward. He would have come forward earlier, but the masters didn't know we were going to create the Cold War. We have free will, remember? So the masters know ultimately what's going to happen, but they don't know moment by moment because humanity has free will. Well, the Antichrist for our time, if you're worried about the Antichrist, you can relax. The ageless wisdom says it has come and gone and paved the way for the world teacher who is here now waiting for the best time to come forward. All right, that's my talk for today, and I want to thank you for being here.
Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org.
We invite you to visit Planetary Makeover on YouTube, where we have dozens of fascinating shows in line with what you've just seen.
For more background information, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's www.shareinternational-west.org. For related books, DVDs, and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya, please go to share-ecart.com.